You're listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProcPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. Well, President Trump is in the news, and I'm going to play his press conference at the United Nations. But the big story that's overwhelming everybody today is the so-called whistleblower. And who is the whistleblower? And I think what happened was the Democrats had a plot going on. Narrative, the false story that Russia colluded with Trump, and that's why he's president, didn't pan out. And they knew it from the very beginning. They couldn't come up with any dirt, and that's what the Mueller report concluded. There was no evidence that he conspired or colluded with the Russians. And just a reminder, the purpose of any U.S. attorney, including a special counsel Mueller, is to find evidence of a crime if it's a criminal investigation. Remember, this was an intelligence investigation. So they were really, Donald Trump is right, it was a witch hunt. They were searching for a crime. They couldn't find any, so they couldn't indict him on anything. Well, they tried their best. And remember, and this is important because I think a lot of people don't understand this. If you have evidence that someone has committed a crime, you indict them. And then it's up to the U.S. prosecutor to take the evidence to a jury. And if the jury finds the person guilty, they are sentenced to prison. However, there's only one or two outcomes. Either they're not guilty or they're guilty. You don't exonerate them. And if you don't have the evidence, you don't go forward for an indictment at all. And the Mueller report is very clear. There's no evidence that Donald Trump or anyone in his campaign colluded or conspired with the Russians. End of case. End of story. Now, there was a lot in this report about exoneration. It's never the responsibility of a U.S. attorney or special counsel to exonerate anybody. That's not their job. And that keeps coming up. Well, he wasn't exonerated. He wasn't exonerated. No one is ever exonerated. Where they don't have the evidence, they don't go forward to the grand jury to seek indictment and with the indictment, then they'll go and try it. So I just wanted to refresh your memory because someone was saying that, well, they didn't exonerate him. No one is ever exonerated. It's not our justice system. That's not how our justice system works. Far from it. And Mueller knows that. Shame on him and the people that put that report together to mislead. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to blow smoke and confuse you. Now, what about this whistleblower? And I'm going to get into this in a minute, but I wanted to highlight someone, again, was leaking information. We don't know who it was. And apparently this whistleblower overheard this. And this was the subject of the complaint about a telephone call that Donald Trump made to the newly elected president of the Ukraine. But there was one problem. The Democrats thought they would control the narrative. But Trump astutely released the complete, declassified and released the transcript. And if you review it, he did nothing wrong at all. As a matter of fact, remember, it is the responsibility of the President of the United States to be the chief law enforcement. Now, he delegates that to the Attorney General. And there's also was a treaty in the Clinton administration that the United States and Ukraine would cooperate in investigations like this. So what the president was doing in this phone call is perfectly legal. There's nothing here that is a crime, although they're trying real hard to do that. This supposedly was a campaign contribution. I mean, you really got to be torturous to come up with that conclusion, or a liar. And what I'm seeing is a lot of people are lying. They think this is the ultimate gotcha. This will nail Trump, and they don't have it. They don't have it. If they had something that was real, they wouldn't need to be lying all over the place. And Adam Schiff takes the prize for that. I'm sure we'll hear more of Adam Schiff this week, because what happened is their coup attempt, and that's what I'm calling it. I'm not calling it a impeachment at all. It's a coup, combination of the establishment and the CIA, clearly, both former and current people in the House on the staff. And remember, yeah, President Trump took over the administration when he was sworn in, but you still have people that are loyalist, if you will, working in the deep state that are either Clinton supporters or Obama supporters. And their career plans were rather terminated when Trump won. Now, I didn't vote for Trump or Hillary Clinton. I don't, as far as I'm concerned, Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted, and she wasn't, because it was a rigged investigation from the start. And what is scaring? Why do we have so many scared Democrats here? And they really are getting scared. Is what's going to happen, I think, in the next 6 months? Many people will be indicted that were involved in the Clinton-Obama Democratic Party criminal conspiracy. Not a criminal conspiracy theory, a real criminal conspiracy, and that means they will be indicted and tried. So there's a lot of panic and a rush to judgment. They don't see, if you're going to bring impeachment, you should have at least one solid, credible, airtight instance of wrongdoing by the president, and they don't have it. That's what's, I know, frustrating the hell out of them. They don't have it, so they have to make it up. And when they make it up, they trip up, and they're tripping up left and right. So I'm going to get on the whistleblower, what was in the conversation, and you can read the letter. I'm not going to read the letter, but that's what you should do. Donald Trump didn't say anything that in that telephone conversation that any other president could and should say, and he's really trying to investigate wrongdoing by Americans. And see, this involves Joe Biden and his son, and that's really why there's Panicville. And I think this is going to sink the any chance that Joe Biden had. I never thought Joe Biden would get the nomination. I remember him when he ran two times before. He's a lightweight. Nice guy, but a lightweight. And I think his past is catching up to him, especially his son's activity. Doesn't look good. Even if no laws were broken, it doesn't look good. It looks like a payoff was made to his son. $50,000 a year for 5 years? That's a lot of money, folks. That's more than most people make in a month, and in some cases a lifetime. Think about that. 60 months at $50,000. A lot of money here. Oh yes, that ended. But it needs to be investigated. And I think it will be investigated. And that's why they're panicking. And that's why they're trying to smear Donald Trump any way they can. Let's listen to the some of the press conference today with President Trump and Secretary of State Pompeo.
Thank you. Christina Partsinelos, Fox Business. I want to focus on markets because I'll leave it to everybody else to talk about impeachment. Markets reacted positively after you spoke about China and that it would happen sooner than rather than unexpectedly. Yet you have the foreign minister of China saying that they have no intention of, you know, unseating the United States. And yet they're investing heavily in infrastructure and military.
Not anymore, maybe.
But what is
and
different
maybe they
this
just
time?
Say that, Christine.
What is different this time, though? The fact that you're saying it's progressing.
Oh, I just think it's progressing. I think they want to make a deal. They're losing their supply chain. You know,
do you have something specific?
Well, I don't want to say that, but I can tell you that these two men, and in this case, more specifically, Steve, we're having some very good conversations. And I guess it's next week that a group is coming in and the week after. So we have a lot of talks going on, and also by telephone. They want to make a deal. And you know why they want to make a deal? Because they're losing their jobs and because their supply chain is going to hell. And companies are moving out of China, and they're moving to lots of other places, including the United States. And that's not good. That's far worse than they thought. And by the way, in the meantime, we're taking in billions and billions of dollars in tariffs. We're taking in tremendous numbers in tariffs. And We're helping our farmers who got targeted. Now, by the way, China is starting to buy our agricultural product again. They're starting to go with the beef and all of the different things, pork, very big on pork. If you look and if you see, and they actually put out, I think, a statement, but they're starting very heavy to buy our ag again. No, they want to make a deal, and they should want to make a deal. The question is, do we want to make a deal?
If USMC doesn't pass through Congress, is that it for NAFTA?
Well, that would be a shame. Well, I don't want to answer that question, but you know how I feel about NAFTA. I think NAFTA is the worst trade deal ever made, although I also happen to think the World Trade Organization was not one of the greats. Not one of the greats. That was the creation of China, which went like a rocket ship from the day they signed. It was terrible. But, no, we're going to find out. That's going to be a very interesting question. With Nancy and Chuck and all of these people focusing on the witch hunt, because they can't beat us at the ballot. They can't beat us at the ballot. And they're not going to win the presidential. We're having great polls. We have internal polls that are for Ohio, Iowa, Pennsylvania's looking good, North Carolina. We just won two races that a lot of people we thought we were going to lose both those races. One was down 17 points 3 weeks before the race, and he ended up winning by a substantial margin, by a substantial margin. And Dan Bishop. And then we had a second race, as you know, and he was up 1 or 2 points, and he ended up winning by, what was it, 25 points or some incredible. I'll ask you folks, because I don't want to be inaccurate, otherwise I'll have a front-page story. We have breaking news. Trump exaggerated. But he won by many, many points, and he was leading by maybe two, maybe three, but he won by in the 20s. So it's been, so we're looking great in North Carolina, looking great in Florida. And you had one or two congressmen, Democrats, saying, listen, we can't beat him at the election, so let's impeach him, right? Didn't you hear Al Green? That's a beauty. He's a real beauty, that guy. But he said very distinctively, it was all over the place. I don't know, they're trying to lose that tape, I guess. But he said, we can't beat him, let's impeach him. That's pretty dangerous stuff. Steve, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. You had expressed some concerns about the precedent of releasing the transcript.
Yeah, I don't
Why
like
did
it.
You go ahead and do it?
Because I was getting such fake news, and I just thought it would be better. And now they're asking for the first phone conversation, and I'll release that, too, if it's important to you. But they're asking for, because I had a conversation previous on a previous election plateau that he had hit. The current president hit a couple of different plateaus, and I spoke to him previous to the call that we released, which was a very innocent call, a very, very innocent, very nice call. And as he said, I wasn't pushed, meaning pressured. He wasn't pressured at all. But I don't like the concept of releasing calls, because when a president or a prime minister or a king or a queen calls the United States, you don't like to say, gee, we're going to release your call to the fake news media, and they're going to make you look like a fool. What happens is it's hard to do business that way. You want to have people feel comfortable. So I hated it, but you folks were saying such lies, such horrible things about a call that was so innocent and so nice. In fact, Lindsey Graham said to me when he read it, it was very interesting. He's a good man. He's a smart man. He said, I can't believe it. I never knew you could be this really nice to a person. He said, I cannot believe it. You were so nervous. I didn't think you had that in you to be so nice. I was nice. I'm nice to a lot of people. People don't understand that. But I was. But he was shocked that it was such a nice call. And he said, there is nothing here. And all fair people say the same thing. But I don't like the precedent, Steve. I don't like it where you're dealing with heads of state and to think that their call is going to be released. But I felt that, and, you know, we spoke to Ukraine about it. Mike actually called up his counterpart, and we spoke to Ukraine about it because they could have been, if they didn't want us to do it, we would not have done it. But he actually said that was a very innocent call. You can release it all you want.
And are you now braced for a long impeachment saga?
Well, I thought we won. I thought it was dead. It was dead. The Mueller report, no obstruction, no collusion. You look at all of the things that happened. Corey Lewandowski was fantastic the other day as a person that they have been tormenting. You look at all the people that they've tormented, all the legal fees. People came here with bright eyes. They wanted to make life so great for other people. And they left where they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees that they didn't have. And it's a sad thing. What these Democrats have done to ruin lives is so sad. I have seen people with only good intention. They came to Washington because they wanted to make the United States and the world a better place. And they went home, they were dark. They got hit by Mueller subpoenas. I think there were 2,500 subpoenas or some ridiculous number. 500 people were interviewed. And yet they don't interview Joe Biden and his son. If you're a Democrat, you have automatic protection. That's years and years of people putting in certain people into positions. But when you look at all of the trauma that these fakers have caused, and the press, look, the press is, much of the press is not only fake, it's corrupt. These stories they write are corrupt. They're so wrong, and they know that. You know, it used to be, I used to get great press until I ran for politics. I mean, I used to be the king of getting good press. I was very good at it. And I got good. I mean, they covered me well for what otherwise I probably wouldn't be here. And once I ran, I said, boy, this is incredible. But if you see the way they treat my family, used to be treated great. My family worked so hard. The people that work with me, these people, all of these people, they work so hard. They've done such a good, look, we have the greatest economy we've ever had. We have a military, $2.5 trillion. We've rebuilt our military. You don't hear the vets complaining. We got choice approved. It couldn't be approved. But when you see what happened with the viciousness, and when you see little Adam Schiff go out and lie and lie and stand at the mic, smart guy, by the way, stand at the mic and act like he's so serious. And then he goes into a room with Nadler, and they must laugh their asses off. They must laugh their asses off. But it's so bad for our country. People have said, Rush Limbaugh, great man. Sean Hannity said it. A lot of people have said it. Mark Levin, they said, they don't know if one man anywhere in the world with all the men they know or woman that could handle what I've had to handle. And I think that's true, but I handle it. To me, it's like putting on a suit. All right, how about one more question? Question on the economy. A question on the economy. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. President. VPI-TV from Venezuela, Caracas,
good,
Venezuela.
Good. Wow.
Yeah.
How are you doing? How are you doing over there?
Pretty bad. Yeah. Our situation
I would say pretty,
is pretty
bad. Yeah. Sad. Yeah.
But we are fighting.
And it was one of the great countries, one of the richest countries, not so long ago, yeah. 15 years ago. It's incredible.
But we are going to make it.
Right. I agree with that. And we're helping you.
Yeah.
We're helping you.
Yeah, I know. And thank you.
Go ahead.
I have two questions to take advantage of this. Maduro traveled to Russia and Diosdado Cabello to North Korea, two of the most antagonist nations in the U.S. interests. What can be done to contain this? What are they looking for in that country? And because the special envoy, Mr. Abrams, said that the Russians are willing to negotiate it. This is one question. And the other, Mr. President, you say that the socialist is one of the biggest challengers. You said it yesterday in the United Nations. But the region is far from safe. Maduro is still a dictator, full in power. Ban and in Argentina and Brazil are under threat about the socialists and populists. Are you worried about it?
Well, I just say that socialism will never happen in the United States, can't happen in the United States. And Venezuela, unfortunately, I have to use your country as the example of what socialism can do, how it can tear the fabric of a country apart. Because I know a lot about Venezuela. I've had many, many friends of mine come from Venezuela. They live, many, in Miami, a certain section of Miami. I won't mention the name because they'll say I'm thinking about my business and I'm not. But they are fantastic people, and they like your president. They voted overwhelmingly for me. They like what I'm doing for Venezuela. We have Venezuela very much in our hearts. and very much in our sights, and we're watching it very carefully. And you know what I would say? We're giving millions and millions of dollars in aid, not that we want to from the Maduro standpoint, but we have to because on a humanitarian, people are dying. They have no food, they have no water, they have no nothing. They're dying, no medicine. The hospitals are closed or don't even have electricity. It's so sad to see. Let me just say that we have it under control. We're watching it very carefully. And we're going to be very, very, we're watching it very carefully, including other countries that may or may not be playing games. We're watching it very closely.
But you know, if Russia is talking with USA or Guaido, what can you tell about us?
Just put this in the back of your mind. It's all going to be fine. We know everything that you said, and it's all going to be fine. We're very much involved. We very much know what's going on, and we're very much.
Now, that was President Trump today after his speech at the United Nations the day before, taking some questions from the press. Now, he doesn't give many press conferences. That's why I definitely wanted to cover this one. These were the questions. I think what you have going on right now is not what the Democrats would like you to think. It's an inquiry, an impeachment inquiry. That's how I like to characterize it. But they jumped the gun. Usually, if you have an impeachment, you have a vote, and you have to have articles of impeachment specifying the crimes. That's how we don't normally have impeachments. But to the extent that we do, one of the key first steps is you have to write down articles of impeachment. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't come up with something. They manufacture something all the time. That's not their problem. Whatever they come up with, ideally, if it were truly a crime that he committed, they'd have the evidence and it would be easy. You wouldn't have to lie. That's their problem. They don't have any evidence of a crime, a high crime at all. So what's the best next thing? You see, if they had the evidence, there'd be articles of impeachment and they would call the vote. They're not doing that. No, they're not having any vote. This is not an impeachment, folks. This is part of a well-planned, organized coup against the president. And it's becoming obvious they will say and do anything because they're in fear, mortal fear, that when the Clinton-Obama Democratic Party criminal conspiracy is exposed and people are indicted and then tried, when this comes out in glorious detail, it will do incredible damage to the Democratic Party. These were real felonies. You're not supposed to spy, surveil the Republican candidate for president. They crossed a very, very bright line and broke many laws. And they used the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court to do it and misrepresented and hid from the court the fact that, one, this was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party. They had a cryptic footnote. That's not disclosure. That's not being forthcoming. Why did they put it in a footnote and it wasn't obvious what it was? Because they knew if they had said, oh, by the way, the Christopher Steele dossier, one, has not been verified. You're supposed to verify all the information in that request for a warrant. They couldn't do it. They knew they couldn't do it. It was salacious, unverifiable information, and that is almost verbatim what the FBI director said, and he's signing the request. They had nothing, folks. They had nothing, but they broke the law. Our FISA process failed us, and as a result, many Americans involved in the Republican campaign of Donald Trump for president were spied on by the National Security Agency and the FBI and other members of the intelligence community. And it didn't end there. The CIA was involved, and the CIA director was involved. There's a worldwide search using the intelligence community to try to dig up dirt on Donald Trump, and they came up empty. And yes, they were looking in the Ukraine and came up empty. They were trying to come up with leverage that would mean Hillary Clinton would be guaranteed the presidency. That didn't happen. Donald Trump won. No one expected it in terms of Democrats or the big lie media. There were a few people that thought that Donald Trump had a chance, and I'll include me. And I'm not a supporter of Trump, by the way. I don't vote for Democratic candidates or Republican candidates anymore because they're ruining this country. We have a financial mess that both Democrats and Republicans are responsible for because year in, year out, they're running up deficits in the hundreds of billions of dollars. That means they're running up debt after debt after debt. Now, you can do this for a while, and if you're the United States, you could probably do it for a couple of decades. But eventually, the chickens do come home to roost, and this blows up in your face. And neither party is addressing it. Instead, we're dealing with this nonsense. This is nonsense. It's a coup, and I think the people responsible, both in the Obama administration and now in Congress for doing this, they are betraying their own voter base. This is not sitting well with the American people. And I mean not only Republicans, I mean Democrats and independents. They have lost sight that you better have the people behind you, and they don't. The overwhelming majority of American people, for example, want the illegal alien invasion of this country stopped. And the illegal aliens here to please go home. Thank you. But no, the Democratic Party clearly today is an open border party, as is most of the media, that wants to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. In other words, they won't give a penny for Donald Trump's big, beautiful wall. You're supposed to defend not only the United States Constitution, but also the United States against invasion. That's the responsibility of the federal government. And we've had 1, 2, 3 million illegal aliens year in, year out for 33 years coming into the United States. And the American people have complained both under Republican and Democratic administrations to stop it. The reason Donald Trump is president today, he was the only candidate, both Democrat and Republican, that had such a strong position on immigration. Now, he had other things he ran on, but I'm telling you, so did the other candidates. What distinguished Donald Trump from all the other candidates was his strong stand on building a big, beautiful wall and removing and deporting all the illegal aliens that are here. That's why the entire political elitist establishment in Washington, D.C., the leadership of both political parties, the bureaucracy or deep state, big lie media, the television networks, the cable networks, the newspapers, and even radio. Yes, conservatives do have somewhat of a control of radio, but not the newscast. Every 30 minutes, there's a newscast. And yes, it's slanted. This is a coup, an attempt to overthrow a sitting president of the United States. It failed. This is the second attempt. They tried for 2 years to say he was colluding, conspiring with the Russians, no evidence of it. And they searched not only in the United States, but yes, abroad in Russia and the Ukraine. Didn't find anything. So if you can't find anything, make it up. And that's what they're doing now. This is the second attempt. The first attempt failed miserably. This is the second attempt. They know they don't have anything, so they'll make it up. They want to give the appearance that what Donald Trump did in a telephone conversation with the newly elected president of Ukraine was somehow illegal. It wasn't illegal. President Trump was doing his job. What are the Democrat Party fearing and what is Joe Biden and his son fearing? Oh, yes, we'll finally have a thorough and complete investigation, not only by the Ukraine government, now that we have a new government, but also by the U.S. Attorney General. And they might find nothing. That's something I need to say. But what the appearance, and this is the key, the appearance is that his son took a bribe. He certainly got well rewarded for no experience in either Ukraine or natural gas. $50,000 a month? I think there are a lot of Americans would like $50,000 a month. A recently discharged, I think, Navy reservist that had an alcohol problem and a drug cocaine problem, and he was discharged out of the Navy. And then he gets this kind of job. You see, I know, because I used to live abroad, that bribery in many countries, not in the United States, but many countries, is just a way to do business. If you want to get the business, you have to bribe certain people. If you want to make sure that you're not investigated, you make sure you have leverage on the vice president of the United States. And they did through his son. That's why Joe Biden went over there And here's, see, they're accusing Trump of doing what Biden did. He threatened the previous government that they wouldn't get a $1 billion aid package unless they had to fire the existing prosecutor that wanted to investigate the company that offered Biden, and Biden accepted the job. It was a corrupt company, but it was the largest gas company in Ukraine. But that was the way to do business. And the previous people were in bed with the Russians. Keep that in mind. So they came up empty again because Trump played a key card. He declassified the summary of the conversation. There's no verbatim transcript, but he released the entire thing, and I have it on my site. You can look at it if you want. What Trump was concerned about is, and he asked about Biden and his son, and he wanted, remember, Donald Trump is not an attorney. He wanted his attorney general and his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, to be points of contact on this. Because the Ukraine was seeking, who do we give this information that we have to the proper people? And I could understand, that's a very good question, because you have people, unfortunately, in the United States government that would have buried it. The American people are smelling a rat, smelling a lot of rats. And you can see by the simple magnitude of the lies, the fact that they really have to make up everything they're saying here, and Big Lie Media is going along with this, shows you the panic of the Democratic Party and Big Lie Media. Big Lie Media, in my mind, were unindicted co-conspirators, or will be. What they were doing, and I'm talking people in the prior administration that were still on duty when Trump became president, were leaking to the media. Oh yeah, by the way, that's a felony. And they were doing it several times. Now, people leak in Washington all the time, Democrats, Republicans. Sometimes it's approved leak. We got to get our story or point of view out. Sometimes it's just someone has a beef with the policy and leaks. This plot failed quickly. They didn't have their ducks lined up in a row. And all Trump had to do was release the transcript or the notes of a telephone conversation. And you can look at it, the American people can look at it. And with a little background, what you should say is, Trump says it's a perfect call. It was a cordial call, and there's nothing illegal here. You have nothing. Squat. And they're making a big deal about this whistleblower. Well, I favor whistleblowers, provided they have something to whistle about. What we're learning is the whistleblower was a CIA officer that the CIA assigned to the White House. We don't know his name. We might never know his name. And apparently it was at the White House that he overheard someone talk about this telephone conversation and then filed a complaint. We're learning more because our National Director of Intelligence has to testify before Congress. But we'll learn more about the complaint, but it appears that this was not based on firsthand. The CIA officer was not listening on the telephone conversation. In law, that's hearsay. He has no firsthand knowledge of what was said. His knowledge is what someone told him was said on the telephone conversation. And that person may definitely have been listening and shared that with the officer, not knowing that he was going to use this as a way to smear Trump. This is a large-scale smear campaign, and it's not working. They've struck out now, and I think they're going to strike out big time. What they're not really understanding is, I need to say this, any impeachment proceeding is very much a political process. It's not a trial where evidence is the key. You better have, though, solid crimes and evidence to convince public opinion, the American people, that you have legitimate grounds for making and passing an impeachment. An impeachment is indictment. The House does the indicting, the Senate does the trial, and the Supreme Court justice sits on it. And it's political. It's going nowhere. Even if they finally impeach him. And I say, make my day, impeach him. Because if you don't do this right, it's going to blow up big time in your face. In other words, there's going to be a lot of former, and I applaud this, former Democratic representatives and senators that no longer have their job. Good. They shouldn't have their job. They're wasting the American people's money and time on this. They shouldn't be. There's literally hundreds of more important things that they should be doing. They're not earning their pay. They become very bitter partisans. They can't get over. They lost. They're sore losers. What's worse is they're now engaged in, as far as I'm concerned, criminal activity to try to subvert and overthrow the President of the United States. That also is a big felony, by the way. And how are they doing it? Lying. And they are conspiring. And big lie media is on it. If you do not totally convince the American people that what you're doing is the right thing to do, you're going to get, and they are going to get, their heads handed to them. If you tried this years ago and failed, you'd hang, or they'd execute you for treason. And it's quickly bordering on treason because they're making it up. They're lying to you. And big lie media is in on it. And that's why many, many people now don't watch the news or read the papers because I don't want to read propaganda. Now, I'll be the first to say probably, maybe 25% of the Democrats still go along with this. But you see, the long-range trend, it's over several decades, registered Democrats and registered Republicans have been leaving both parties for different reasons. But they feel that their interests, their concerns are not being listened to and they're not being acted on, whether it's immigration, the invasion, or the fact that they're overtaxed and they're not happy with these huge deficits and intervening in country after country and losing their jobs to China. So Trump is not only winning, I think he's increasing his support while the Democratic Party arrogantly thinks they're going to win. They're assuming they're going to win when they're losing. Now, that's really being out of touch. Now, do I really think some of the clued-in Democrats don't know they're losing? Oh, yes, they do know. They do polls. But what's happened to the Democratic Party? It's been captured by what I call the Reds. The Reds. Who are the Reds? They're radical, extremist, Democrat socialists. Trump is clearly running against socialism. And guess what? It's the Democratic Party. He's pinning the tail on the donkey. They're just socialists, folks. And let me tell you, there's always been in the United States a small percentage of the American people that have supported socialism. But again, the overwhelming majority of the American people don't. They like their standard of living, and they know they have their standard of living because of a competitive, free enterprise, market capitalist system. They're not going to turn over or kill the goose that's laying the golden eggs. And what do these Reds want to do? They want to take away your health care insurance provided by your employer. American people don't support that. They call it Medicare for all. I call it stealing from you a very valuable employee benefit that your employer, in many instances, gives to the employee, and in some cases, for the entire family. Many people work and stay working for a long period of time with an employer because they weigh not only their compensation, but their medical coverage and their retirement plan, and they like it. And they don't like meddlers, socialists, trying to tell them that they have to give that up for Medicare for all. They're going to say, hell no. Obamacare, or the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, was a disaster, even with the subsidies. They don't want it. But that's what the Democratic Party is running on. Look at the presidential candidates. And yes, they're listening and they're not liking what they hear. The Democrats will lose big in 2020, not only the presidential race. I think they will lose control of the House and the Senate. Why? Because what they're running on is not what the American people want. The American people want good-paying jobs and a rising standard of living with fewer and fewer people unemployed. And that's what Donald Trump has been delivering. You got to make promises and you got to keep promises. And what the Democratic Party is doing now, after over 2 years of investigating Trump, is to continue. They didn't like the answer, so they're going to try to find something, anything, even if they have to lie and make it up. And that's what they're doing. And they're trying to think that somehow Donald Trump did something wrong. Well, he called their bluff. He released unclassified the entire government transcript. It's called a memorandum of telephone conversations. Every time the president, especially with heads of state, is calling people, there are a number of people, they're note takers in the White House Situation Room. The calls are made in the White House Situation Room. And you have one or more note takers taking it down. And you better believe whoever he's talking to, whether it's the Ukraine or another country's leader, they do the same thing. And they're recording it. But you have to make sure that their conversations remain confidential. But what was happening? You had people in the White House and other agencies that had access to this, and they were leaking. So as a result, the White House, President Trump was mad, and he should be mad, made sure these were under lock and key, and only a few people had access. And you notice, up until now, they have stopped the leaks. The whistleblower really had nothing to blow. It was secondhand information, but he does know who the leaker is. I'd make clear to him, either you give me the name of the leaker, whoever it is, or your career is ended. Now, we're not there yet, but this is clearly people in the intelligence community, as was the first efforts. And that includes the FBI, the CIA, National Security Agency, and other members of the intelligence agency, and people working in the White House. The White House had a serious problem under Trump as well as under Obama with leakers. No president likes leakers, and he has to stop them because if he doesn't, world leaders won't want to talk to him. Who wants to talk to him when they're talking sensitive information and it's going to appear in the newspaper the next day? And that's what was happening. You haven't heard much of that lately. Well, action was taken to shut down the leaking problem. And the way you take the action, you fire people, terminate people for cause, and make sure everyone understands, well, if you want to talk to the press and are caught, we will take appropriate legal action, and that means prosecution. I think you have partisans, definitely in the CIA and other departments, that are leaking to various staffs in Congress, in particular the intelligence staff. That's what's going on here. And big lie media is just banging the drums. Unfortunately, I think Donald Trump played him for fools by releasing the entire notes of the telephone conversation. You can read it if you want. Donald Trump calls it a perfect call. It was a pleasant call. Oh, yes, he does want information on Biden and his son. What's happening there? Because remember, until Biden stepped in and forced the Ukrainians to fire the prosecutor, they were going to continue their investigation. There was an ongoing investigation of this. It's a giant gas company in the Ukraine, natural gas, Barista. And clearly, Joe Biden and his son really don't want the details out. So what are they? They're accusing Trump of doing what they did. And if you don't believe me, Joe Biden is, like I said, it's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He's bragging about it. There's a videotape. And I told him I'm leaving in 6 hours, and if you don't get that prosecuted fire, you're not going to get the money. Well, they fired the prosecutor. They're desperate for the money. Oh, and by the way, my son works for that company. No, no, no. And guess what? The press has covered this. There is news reports in the New York Times. Now, the New York Times like to say, well, you know, we knew there was corruption and the prosecutor was corrupt. Well, no, it was the other way around. This was a payoff bribe. That's the appearance of it. Joe Biden's son, frankly, should not have accepted it, but he did. And as a result, Joe Biden will never be president of the United States, and eventually Joe Biden will wake up to that fact. I think he already knows it. And he'll probably try, he's desperately trying to save his, what he thinks is going to be his nomination and guaranteed winner in 2020. Joe Biden had to drop out 2 times. He's a 3-time loser. He's going to have to drop out again. He's never going to be president of the United States. Your time is up, Joe. You're viewed by women as being creepy, sleepy, and dopey. And the American people aren't going to elect you president. And the Democratic Party is not going to nominate you for their candidate. Accept it. Retire now, because more dirt is going to be coming out on your son, both in the Ukraine and Communist China. A lot of it's already out there. The American people don't know because your big lie media friends are trying to protect you. But they're not going to be protecting you very long because you have too much baggage and you're perceived as a loser. And they want to, whether they will, they need to pick someone that truly can beat Trump. And I don't see any of them, quite frankly, that can. Because the leaders, whether it's Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, 2 senators from New England, and some of the other candidates are truly radicals. They're radical extremists, and they are Democrat socialists. They want to make the government bigger and bigger, take more and more of your money. money. They want to control your lives. They want to make you dependent on the government. That's what they're about. That's what they're about. So this failed coup attempt, and it's still playing out. They're not letting go. They'll try to do this for at least a couple of weeks. Remember, they announced, the House Speaker announced an inquiry. No, what she announced was, we're going ahead with the coup against Trump. Make my day, impeach President Trump. And that will be the day, not when you die, but when the Democratic Party blows the 2020 election and loses control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and I think for many years. Because people are looking, observing. Now I'll be the first to say, I know that about half the American people are not following this. They're not interested in this. They're interested in golf, baseball, sports, work, whatever. They don't care about this. And I can understand it. They're losing faith in their government institutions because they truly believe that most of the politicians are bought and paid for, and they've been fundamentally corrupted, and they have. And the evidence is playing out right before your eyes. And if you rely on the television news networks or cable for your news, if you're truly following it, you are being routinely, every day, lied to. Now, some people are what I call true believers. They believe what they hear. It must be true. It's on television. It must be true. It's in the newspapers. Unfortunately, big lie media today is largely progressive propaganda, largely supporting the Democratic candidate for president, as well as Democratic candidates. Not all of them, but most of them. That's why most people don't. What's happened to newspapers as well as television news shows? Fewer and fewer buying papers or watching, buying and reading the papers or watching and listening television news. Why? Except for the weather and the sports. They listen in for the weather and the sports, but that's local. They simply don't believe the national news coming from your major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they turn them off. They have better things to do with their time, and I agree with them. For over, I think, 30 years, I haven't watched television news. Now, I'm in the newsroom, and yes, it's turned on to the news. I've found that most people that are well-informed are very, very aggravated. They don't trust the news today. They simply don't. And most of these people are talking to themselves. It's a bubble. It's a closed loop. But they have to be real concerned that their voter base stays with them. And once their voter base understands that what the Democratic Party is about and what you're hearing on the news is they want to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. They also want to give medical coverage to all the illegal aliens that are here. And three, want to take your coverage away from your employer and substitute Medicare for all. Even Democrats, loyal Democrats for years are going to say, if that's what they're about, they're not getting my vote. And I think Trump is right. I think we have right now the makings of, and this is really going on a limb, the biggest landslide victory was when Lyndon Baines Johnson, a liberal, a hypocrite, but a liberal, won, beat Barry Goldwater in 1964. I believe you're going to see in 2020 a landslide victory by Donald Trump, defeating whoever the Democratic Party candidate is, because it's most likely one of the Reds, the radical extremist Democrat socialists that are peddling this agenda. The American people don't want any part of this and will vote and vote and vote to make sure Trump wins a second term and the Democrats that are newly elected in the House and the Senate, especially the House, are thrown out. That is the consequence of a failed coup. It didn't work, fellas. It didn't work when you tried to smear him that he was colluding and conspiring with the Russians when he wasn't, and it's not working now. You're trying to peddle lies, and you're being called on it and found out for what you are. This will continue until it even becomes clear to the true believers and the ones that are leading this charge that maybe we don't have the American people behind him. And I'll tell you, you don't. I don't want to limit my choices to big government parties, whether it's Democrat or Republican. If you keep voting Democrat and Republican, you're going to get the same results, and you should be worried. If you're trying to count on Social Security and Medicare, my advice is don't count on it. The United States government, year in, year out, whether it's a Democratic president or a Republican president, are running huge deficits of hundreds of billions of dollars, running up the national debt to over over $23 trillion and rising. We're a few, little over a week away from the end of the fiscal year. Less than a week away. 5 days to be exact. And the deficit this year alone. Now, you tend to blame the president. I tend to fall in this trap, but most people do. Well, who was president? It's Trump. It's Trump's fault. No. Who controls the money bills? It's the House of Representatives. Money bills, taxes, and spending have to originate in the House of Representatives. And in the Senate, they have their proposals. And eventually, they have to come to agreement on the language. Congress is the one that has failed to control out-of-control government spending. They have what I call spending addiction disorder. Sad. Spending addiction disorder. They couldn't balance a budget if their life depended on it. What really is depending on it is the solvency and the promises made concerning Social Security and Medicare. Soon, probably within 10 years, maybe less, maybe a little more, this all blows up, and you'll see drastic cuts in Social Security and Medicare, either that or drastic increases in payroll or Social Security and Medicare taxes. Instead, what is Congress wasting its time on? They can't accept the fact that Donald Trump beat them. Fair and square. Beat them. First time out. They can't accept reality. And when you can't accept reality, what do? You make up the reality. You lie to the American people. And that's where they're at right now. They're trying to keep as much of the true believers as they can. But every day, as they lie more and more and the lies are pointed out, more and more people will leave the Democratic Party. Some simply won't go to vote. And then in 2020, I see a Republican sweep. Now, is that going to change what's happening? Unfortunately, no. That's why I don't vote. It doesn't matter when the central economic problem of the United States today is the federal government is spending way too much money, way beyond the means of the American people. The only way we can do is to go in debt and debt, and a lot of this debt is controlled by who? Foreign governments. Now, many of them are starting not to buy our debt, like China. But you see, for at least 70 years, the safest investment was a treasury security. Not anymore. Not anymore. There's a lot of demand for treasury securities, but it's no longer the safest place. It takes a while for people to start waking up and thinking, what's happening here? What's going on? I think the Democratic Party have made a fundamental mistake. They're losing every day. They continue this. They're losing the confidence of the American people. And if they continue, there'd be fewer and fewer people that trust or believe them. So it's not only the Democratic Party that's doing, I think, irreparable damage to what's left of its reputation, but also big lie media. They're in on it, folks. And Donald Trump is way ahead of him. And he has the people behind him. And as long as he has the people behind him, and that number, I believe, is increasing, he will win and beat both big lie media and the Democratic Party. They look like fools and liars. And you want one of the fools or liars to be your president and take your health coverage away from you and give citizenship to illegal aliens and give the illegal aliens that are made citizens health coverage? I think not. And I think the majority of the American people think not. There'll be more on the whistleblower. We've learned a little. He's a CIA agent that was working in the White House. Someone apparently leaked him information, and based on that leaked information, he turned it over to the House Intelligence Committee. And we keep getting more and more of this nonsense. Donald Trump is president of the United States, whether you like it or not. And you better wake up and live with it. Because if you try to continue this coup, you will be found out and either fired or prosecuted or both. You're bordering on subversion, if not treason, by doing this. And that's a very serious crime to be committing. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProcPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.